one and only Ivan, pages 234 to 251. A tall man with a clipboard and pencil comes to visit. He says he's here to inspect the property. He doesn't say much more, but he makes many check marks on his paper. He looks at my floor. Check. He examines Ruby's hay. Check. He eyes our water bottles. Check. Mac watches him scowling. Bob is outside, hiding near the dumpster. He does not want to be a check mark. Every day there are more protesters and cameras with bright lights. Sometimes the people carry signs shouting, "Free Ruby! Free Ruby!" "Ivan," Ruby asks, "why are those people yelling my name? Are they mad at me?" "They're mad," I say, "but not at you." A week later, the inspecting man comes back with a friend, a woman with smart, dark eyes like my mother's. She has a white coat on, and she smells like Ebola blossoms. Her hair is thick and brown and the color of a rotten branch teeming with luscious ants. She watches me for a long time. Then she watches Ruby. She talks to the man. They both talk to Mac. The man gives Mac a sheet of paper. Mac covers his face. He goes to the office and slams the door. Something strange is happening. The white-coated woman is back with other humans. They place a large box in the center of the ring. It's Ruby-sized. I suddenly know why the woman is here. She's here to take Ruby away. The woman leads Ruby to the box. She places an apple inside. "Good girl, Ruby," she says kindly. "Don't be afraid." Ruby inspects the box with her trunk. The woman makes a clicking sound with a little piece of metal she is holding in her hand. She gives Ruby a carrot. Each time Ruby touches the box, she gets a click and a treat. "Why is she making that clicking noise?" I ask Bob. "They do that to dogs all the time," Bob says, and I can tell he doesn't approve. It's called clicker training. They want Ruby to associate the noise with the treat. When she does something they want, they make that noise. "Good job, Ruby," the woman says. "You're a quick study." After many clicks and carrots, she takes Ruby back to her cage. "Why is that lady giving me carrots when I touch the box?" Ruby asks me. "I think she wants you to go inside," I explain. "But there's nothing inside," Ruby says, "except an apple." "Inside that box," I say, "is the way out." Ruby tilts her head. "I don't get it." "See the picture of the red giraffe on the box? I think the lady is from the zoo, Ruby. I think she's getting ready to take you there." I wait for Ruby to trumpet with joy, but instead, she just stares at the box in silence. "I'm not sure you understand. The box might be taking you to a place where there are other elephants," I say, "a place with more room and humans who care about you." But even as I say these words, I remember with a shudder the last box I was in. "I don't want a zoo," Ruby says. "I want you and Bob and Julia. This is my home." "No, Ruby," I say. "This is your prison." The lady comes again. She brings an animal doctor with an awful smell and a dangerous-looking bag. He spends an hour with Ruby, poking and prodding. He looks at her eyes, her feet, her trunk. When he's done with Ruby, he enters my cage. I wish I could hide under not tag like Bob. Instead, I do a nice loud chest beat, and after a moment, the doctor retreats. "We're going to need to put this one under," he says. I'm not quite sure what he means, but I strut around my cage, feeling victorious anyway. No one asks me to paint today. No one asks Ruby to perform. There are no shows, no visitors, unless you count the protesters. Max stays in his office all day. I wake him from a long morning nap. Bob is on my belly, but he isn't asleep. He's watching the ring where four men are placing a large metal box. It's me-sized. "What's that?" I ask, still blurry from sleep. Bob nuzzles my chin. "I believe that box is for you, my friend." I'm not sure what he means. "Me?" "They brought in a bunch of boxes while you were sleeping. Looks to me like they're taking the whole lot of you," he says, casually licking a paw. "Even Thelma." I repeat. "Taking us where?" "Well, some to the zoo, probably. Others to an animal shelter where humans will try and find them homes." Bob shakes himself. "So, I guess all the good things must come to an end, huh?" His voice is bright, but his eyes are far away and sad. "I'm gonna miss your stomach, big guy." Bob shuts his eyes. He makes an odd noise in his throat. "But what about you?" I ask. I can't tell if Bob's just pretending to sleep, but he doesn't answer. I gaze at the huge, shadowy box, and suddenly I understand how Ruby feels. I don't want to go into that box. The last time I was in a box, my sister died. When George and Julia come home that night, George doesn't get his mop or his broom. He gathers up his tools and belongings while Julia runs to my cage. "This is my last night, Ivan," she says, and she presses her palm to my glass. "Mac fired my dad." Tears slip down her cheeks. "But the zoo lady said maybe they'll have an opening there in a while, cleaning cages and stuff." I walk to the glass that separates us. I put my hand where Julia's is, palm to palm, finger to finger. My hand is bigger, but they're not so very different. "I'm going to miss you," Julia says, "and Ruby and Bob. But this is a good thing, really it is. You deserve a different life." I stare into her dark eyes, and I wish I had words for her. Sniffling, she goes into Ruby's cage. "Have a good life, Ruby," she says. Ruby makes a little rumbling sound. She puts her trunk between the bars and touches Julia's shoulder. "Where is Bob anyway?" Julia asks. She looks around, under tables, in my cage, by the trash can. "Dad?" she calls. "Have you seen Bob?" "Bob? Nope," George says. Julia's brow wrinkles. "What's going to happen to him, Dad? What if Mac shuts down the whole mall?" "He says he's going to try and keep it open without the animals," George says. He stuffs his hands into his pockets. "I'm worried about Bob, too, but he's a survivor." "You know what, Dad?" Julia gets a gleam in her eye. "Bob could live with us. Mom loves dogs, and he could keep her company, and..." "Jules, I'm not even sure I have a job yet. I may not even be able to feed you, let alone some mutt." "My dog walking money. Sorry, Jules." Julia nods. "I understand." She starts to leave, then runs back to my cage. "I almost forgot. This is for you, Ivan." She slips a piece of paper into my cage. It's a drawing of Ruby and me. We're eating yogurt raisins. Ruby is playing with another baby elephant, and I'm holding hands with a lovely gorilla. She has red lips and a flower in her hair. I look, as I always do in Julia's pictures, like an elegant fellow, but something is different about this drawing. In this picture, I'm smiling. The door to my cage is propped open. I can't stop staring at it. My door open. The giant box has been moved, and it's open too. The humans have pushed it up against my doorway. If I walk through my door, I enter their box. The zoo lady, whose name is Maya, is here again. Click, yogurt raisin. Click, tiny marshmallow. Click, ripe papaya. Click, apple slice. Hour after hour, click after click. I look over at Ruby. She waits to see what I will do. I touch the box. I sniff the dark interior where a ripe mango awaits. Click, click, click. I have to do it. Ruby is watching me from between the bars of her cage, and this box is the way out. I step inside.